Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a
mini-sode.
Oh,
I nearly missed it.
We're back in Andy's wrestling corner.
Yeah,
we're following
the invasion angle, really.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it. Yeah, and we are at what month are we in?
It is the month of
October.
October. Mm. Yeah,
and it is WWF No Mercy 2001.
By Saliva. First of all,
I would like to thank our boy Saliva for their song Click Click Boom.
And once again, it'll be Click Click Boom for the WWF. What do you think of Click Click Boom by Saliva?
It's no Drowning Pool, let me tell you that right now.
No. Few are.
Drowning Pool was the best theme song that I could remember for...
No,
for
no,
a pay-per-view.
No.
Second best, sorry. Well, you can tell me what you think is best.
My way. WrestleMania 17.
The theme song. Was that the theme song for WrestleMania 17?
Yes, it was.
I thought it was just for that promo.
It was used for all the things. I'm pretty certain it was.
Hmm.
What
I thought it was just for like
banger, that is.
Well, now you're coming. Now you speak my language. Limp Bizkit.
I know.
Rocking the set. It's like rushing when you're placing your bet.
Okay. You're losing me again.
Tom Cruise picked them to be the official song of MI2.
That was actually a banger as well.
Now I know why you want to hate me. Because I don't want to hate me.
It honks, as you would say.
Yeah. Now I'm...
Okay. Okay, that'll do.
I know why you want to hate me.
You know what movie I watched the other day? And I was proud of myself for watching it, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
I was watched, as we are horror fans in this house, I noticed that Vertigo was on Netflix.
Hey!
1958, Alfred Hitchcock.
Favorite Hitchcock.
I have to say, I loved it.
Oh, Andy, I'm actually so happy, yeah.
I was very surprised at how watchable it was.
I was very
pleasantly surprised. It was so pleasant to watch, but it's also just really well done.
Well made. He's great in it.
Yeah. And I was only thinking with him, what's his name, Jimmy Stewart,
my boy, my man.
Yeah. Like how I was only saying to Kerry at the start, it's like he's just so likable. Like, and
he's
then,
America's sweetheart. He was Tom Hanks before Tom Hanks.
He was. And then by the time it gets to the end, it's like it's mad how believable he is as kind of like a bad guy now, or like, you know, whatever.
But it ends. Spoiler. You know what? Let's not spoil it. But like the ending is like, oh right.
I was a bit like the very last second, and then it ended. I was like, huh. And I have my theory. I think maybe she thought she saw a ghost or something, or something. But like, what happened there at the end?
Maybe we'll talk about this off mic.
Okay. very good movie.
Yeah, great. You should check out. I would highly recommend.
I was looking
some
for more
Hitchcock.
I was looking for more. They just
Rear Window
on Netflix.
Not on it?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think it's on Netflix now.
Rear Window's great.
I'd love to watch them all now. I've seen The Birds, and I think that's possibly the
only
Hitchcock
one. The Birds is actually like,
seen.
That's lesser Hitchcock, but like,
yeah.
The great North by Northwest or Strangers on a Train is also great.
Oh yeah, I didn't know he did that.
I'm trying to think, like, yeah, he's fucking done. Pretty much any Hitchcock, you're not in for a bad time. Like,
yeah,
now,
I figured.
Apparently, he's notorious like for treating his actors pretty badly. Like for the Birds, he treated Tippi Hedren, who was one of the Birds, like fucking terribly. Apparently, like
right,
but kind of Kubrick
to get
did the same
her,
thing
to get her
in The Shining.
Scared, like,
yeah, exactly, and the same thing with your one in The Shining. Kubrick, like, was
she had
a
constant look of terror on
her
face.
Well, she was never the same. That woman had, like, a breakdown on the set. Like,
it looked like it was happening literally on film. Like.
Yeah, it's unraveling. That clip of, like,
Jack Nicholson jumping up and down and getting ready.
He's warming up with the axe in his hand. And I'm like, yes, Jack.
The little steps.
He's like, yeah. And he's like, oh. He's just loosening up to go insane. Like,
I know. Yeah. But yeah, I was very surprised by how watchable this was for, and especially in 1958, this movie must have been like absolutely like,
you know, the way Citizen Kane is like the number one film ever, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and they did basically the poll that always puts that as number one is the Sight and Sound poll.
Yeah,
and then I think it was like the early part of last decade. Vertigo replaced it for like the first time in 15, ooh, 20 years that it was like,
as the best
Vertigo
film.
Was the number one film in the Sight and Sound poll, as opposed to Citizen Kane being number one for so many years.
And is Vertigo considered one of the best movies ever made?
Yeah.
It's up there in the top lists. And all. Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
I think it's really weird that like Jimmy Stewart, as he was getting to the end of his career, started playing these like weird, he started getting darker, like, yeah, whereas at the start of his career, like, he'd been,
it was all sunshine and lollipops.
Yeah, I mean, It's a Wonderful Life, Harvey, Philadelphia, yeah, Story, like these kind of clean cut characters or whatever. Yeah. And then he starts playing these kind of, not weirdos, but like, another good one is Rope, actually, if you ever Rope. See that. Yeah, where it's kind of, it was one of the first ones that I think it was a play originally, and they kind of tried to make it look like the whole film was done in one shot. There's six cuts in it, but it's set in like a parlor room, and they kind of people come in and go out and stuff like that. It's really interesting.
I remember watching. What year was that?
That was around the same time, so that's like the, I'll tell you now exactly.
Like 50s?
50s or 60s, yeah.
Wow. It's very, very pleasantly surprised now.
No, I tell you what, I tell a lie. 1948.
48?
But it's another Hitchcock one. Very good.
Excellent.
Yeah. So one, I tell you, if you like Hitchcock, if you like that one, go for a few of his other ones.
Yeah, I've been looking for them for the last couple of days, but there just wasn't any on Netflix, and I was using the app, so.
I mean, if you have your Amazon, you might.
Are they on Amazon?
Yeah, we'll have a look, won't we? This is good content for everybody. This is more Patreon stuff, but.
He's lying, folks. We're even better than this on Patreon. You wouldn't find this sort of stuff on Patreon. If you want balls to the wall content. Terry, your light is very low in your video. I'm finding it very difficult to see those lovely long locks of yours.
I can look. I'm not turning on the big light, all right?
Turn on the big light.
No way.
Terry, turn on the big light. I deserve better than this. You were getting a crystal clear image of me and my stone wallpaper.
I don't like the big light. It's something to do with the lampshade that it just makes a weird colour. All right, hold on one second.
Oh dear. It seems I've stumbled on something a little more than I thought. Folks, I was just joking.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
What, did you call me, Spud? I said, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
There he is.
You jerk.
Terry, dare I say, can we talk about a bit of... Go on.
You can. I was going to say, the best theme song was, I forgot to say, Survivor Series 1998.
What was that?
Well, it's a deadly game.
I remember that.
Deadly game. And the big skull. The Deadly Game Tournament.
Oh yeah.
32 competitors or something fucking ridiculous, like over the course of one pay-per-view.
You know what I still do? Like, there's certain theme tunes like that, like Deadly Game, but there was a thing, I don't know if you ever seen like the top 50 OMG moments in WWE. It was on like, I don't know, Sky Sports, or it was a DVD or something.
Sure.
But every number, every countdown, it's like number 50. And the song would always be just, oh my God. And it was this thing. But like every number it played it for. So now anytime, like in my house, anytime there's anything like, oh no way, it's just like, oh my God. And it's just been like a screensaver going around my brain.
Now, hold on, Andy. Oh, there we go.
What are you doing?
I thought I'd lost your video there for a second.
Oh no, I'll always be here, Terry.
Ugh. So let's get into the pay-per-view of No Mercy. The big story was that the triple threat was the main event between Kurt Angle, Stone Cold, and
Rob Van Dam.
Fill in some of the blanks for me here, because you know they only showed a few bits on the show. What has been going on TV?
Well, Austin came back and beat Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle won the title on the last pay-per-view, you were correct. He is no longer the champ.
Austin, I remember this,
beat him with the help of the Alliance, or I can't remember exactly how, but it wasn't fairly, of course. Beat Kurt Angle.
William Regal, was it?
Yeah, William Regal turned heel and hit him with the title, and Austin won. And then Austin had been gone for a couple of weeks after the last pay-per-view, and Rob Van Dam had become, because he's such a huge, he's got so much heat behind him, he was sort of the unproclaimed leader of the Alliance, even though he didn't necessarily ask for it, but everyone was just like, hey, Rob. Mm. And people were coming to him looking for advice from the Alliance. The schlubs from the Alliance were looking for some advice off him.
Humorous.
And so all that. So then when Stone Cold came back, he was like, I'm back now, and all this sort of stuff. And
why did he leave? Sorry, did I miss
He just, after he lost to Kurt Angle, he just wasn't back for a couple of weeks. But he'd been sending in faxes to Paul Heyman, who, as soon as he gets it, there could be something going on in the ring, and he'll be like, oh, he'd take off his headset and stand on the table. I just have a fax from Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's a good bit.
Yeah, and he did it like four times a show. Mm. And so, yeah, so then Mick Foley was the... Linda fired William Regal after he turned heel.
Of course.
And
hey, but good cause.
Oh, brilliant.
Seamless, huh?
It was. Oh, God, I'm losing.
You're fired. Hey, good gods.
I love all the voices.
The exchange.
I love it. Oh, it makes me so happy. So Linda fired William Regal as commish and brought back Mrs. Foley's baby boy, Mick Foley, as commissioner.
I tell you what, talk about great theme musics.
Like, yeah, it's just, the car crash.
The car crash, yeah. That's like almost akin to the glass smashing, and then you just have like a real feel-good dad riff, you know? Like.
It is, yeah. So that's what happened with that, and then... So they were all going to be in a match together. And
yeah, how did Rob Van Dam get into the match? That's what I wanted to know.
Mick Foley just announced as a triple threat, if he'll accept.
Mick Foley was always stirring the pot. Like.
Yeah, classic Mick Foley. And he was like, he put it to him if he wants it, but he was standing next to Austin and all this and the Alliance in the ring. He's like, I'll take it and all this sort of stuff. So that was what happened with that. There was a bit of animosity there between them, because also Rob Van Dam was in a limo with Vince.
Vinnie Mac was back in this one.
Yeah, so then that's when Austin turned about Rob Van Dam. He's like, what the hell are you doing talking with Vince? He's the devil, and all this sort of stuff. So you don't know what's going on.
Wait till you see next month. The mind games by Vince really get ratcheted up. Brilliant. I always remember the Survivor Series, the lead up to that being like, oh, Vince is... Unhinged.
Oh, there you go. Oh, I think I do know what you mean. And this is around the time in a few weeks where Triple H makes his epic comeback as well. I think it was November.
That's the Royal Rumble, isn't it?
I thought it was November.
Oh, is it?
And he was saying he's entering into the Royal Rumble.
Right, okay.
I remember that because that's one of my top wrestling moments ever. Oh, man. Goosebumps. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Is that the biggest pop you...
Yeah.
The Triple H one?
That I can remember, and also, like, sort of, I was watching it, so I wasn't screaming or anything, but, like, I felt that excited. I felt that excited anyway, and then when the fans sort of mashed it, I just remember thinking, like, and then even when they talk about it afterwards, when JR talks about it or Triple H talks about it, there's, like, they weren't expecting that reaction, because he was a heel, like, when he left, and then he just comes back.
He's gone for so long, I guess. Yeah, he's gone for, like,
it's like six months, something like that, yeah.
I'm trying to think what would be my favorite one.
Favorite pop?
Yeah, look, just the we're like, oh my god.
When Brock beat Taker?
No.
That wasn't
that was,
a pop.
I don't think I even watched that, to be
dead
honest.
Dead silence.
I think I watched that, because at that time I was like, whatever. And yeah. Even then, like, I'd heard about it, and, like, I was living, I think I'd just come back from Australia, or I was living in my parents' house anyway, and my dad was even saying to me, I see The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania. And I was like, what? Like, the guy, like, that used to, like make fun of me for watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, it's all a load of shite anyway, which is right, like, but, like.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, what.
Would it be Attitude Era?
Yeah, but, like.
Like, one of any of the Austin ones where he's, like, on the Zamboni or.
No, like.
Someone coming up through the ring. Paul White coming up through the ring at Valentine's Day Massacre. I remember that
hell,
was a big show.
Like, Jesus.
It's Paul White.
Even for a return or something like that, like, there was nothing that I can remember. Off the top of my head now, I'm like, a shocking kind of. I remember actually seeing The Rock return, like, whatever year it was, 2014 or something like that.
Yeah.
Or was it 2012, 2011? When he came back, and you were like, holy shit, like, The Rock is back.
Especially when because they used to always do it, and they'd announce it, so you'd tune in. But there was once or twice they did it, and they never announced it.
When he came back, when it wasn't announced, and it was like, oh my god, and he's like, I'm back, and I'm never leaving.
Yeah.
I'll see you in 6 months. Like, that whole, like, finally The Rock has come back home. But, like... Yeah. Looking back at it now, I'm like, I hated that run with the passion of
when he,
a thousand.
When his like title run.
It's not even a title run. It was like him and John Cena, like that whole thing. And I look back at it now, I'm like, doesn't age well. Like, Rock being this, like, I'm a man, and John Cena's a baby.
He's a fairy.
Fuck off. Pretty much. Like he's not a man like me. I'm The Rock, and John Cena is Fruity Pebbles or whatever. It's like,
did you see The Rock has COVID and his wife and two daughters also have COVID?
Had, I believe. I believe they've.
All right. Made a recovery.
They tested positive. They just didn't tell anybody until they, had passed. Robert Pattinson got it, I believe.
No way.
Today.
Oh, no way.
Pats, like.
did you hear...
I'll save it for the next episode, but I saw him in Tenet recently.
Yeah. Yeah, save it.
Yeah.
What do you think of The Rock owning XFL, by the way, before we get properly into it? He now owns the XFL.
It really seems like he's just doing Vince a favor. Like,
yeah.
Look, you're going to lose everything. Here's 15 million, like, near peanuts to me. But, like,
yeah, probably right.
He was like number one in the highest paid actors this year. Like,
I wonder how much money he actually has. Like, how much does he get for a movie? How much did he get for, like, Jumanji 2?
I don't know. You're talking probably 25 million, maybe? Like,
Hold on. How much did The Rock make for Jumanji? First thing. Dwayne Johnson earned a hefty paycheck for his work in the 955 million earning Jumanji.
Quit stalling, give me this thing.
He was reportedly paid $19 million for the 2017
less than Jim Carrey got 30 years ago or 25 years ago. Like,
what did Jim Carrey get?
Jim Carrey got a cool $20 million for The Cable Guy.
For The Cable Guy,
worth every penny. In my humble opinion.
Yeah, it is great.
Yeah, that was the first $20 million paycheck, and people were like, "What the fuck for this piece of shit?"
Can I talk to you about the first match on No Mercy?
Yeah, go on then.
It was a 6-man tag team match, the Teddy Long Special, and it was. The Hardley Boys with Lita versus the Hurricane, Lance Storm, and I can't remember who was in it, Ivory and Molly or Ivory or Molly.
I thought it was a tag match.
Oh, maybe it was just... Oh, yeah, I think it was.
And then they just had the guys on the outside.
Yeah, it was. All right. Embarrassed myself already.
You're watching a different pay-per-view again?
I did this exact same thing the last time.
I watched him again. No,
I'm insistent on a six-man tag.
Again, you got to fill me in here because now Matt and Jeff are WCW tag champs.
Yeah, so I can't remember what
just
happened there.
Just get rid of these fucking titles already.
The WCW tag team titles aren't worth the...
I wouldn't wipe gold my arse with them.
Molly Holly left
is now
Spike.
Mighty Molly, yes.
And left. And let me tell you something. I hate Molly. I hated her as Molly Holly, and I hate her even worse as Mighty Molly. And worst of all, she's made me hate the Hurricane as well. She brings the Hurricane down.
I love Molly Holly. Oh, I love her as Mighty Molly.
Oh, come
you know,
on.
You know what I like about her is she doesn't need to get flashy. You know what I mean by that? Like, yeah. She doesn't need to show you a load of skin or anything like that. I like that about her, like.
Yeah, but, like, that's, yeah.
She's
I mean,
a great hand as well.
She has no personality.
She has the personality. She's the Hurricane sidekick. She's more personality as Mighty Molly than she does as...
Molly Holly.
Molly Holly, yeah.
Oh,
where's Crash? I want to see Crash.
Oh, Crash. I hate Crash. Crash is another guy I can't stand.
You need to be watching your 2000s where he used to come out with his weighing scales.
Yeah, it's that, it's that smug
because he
little...
was a super heavyweight.
Oh, yeah. It's a smug, like... The little look that he's got.
He's great, like, Crash.
I will say that I much prefer, like, I feel like they kind of should have kept Ivory as the Right to Censor Ivory because they don't really, she's not really anything here. She's just coming
now,
out.
Like,
she's, like, I don't even believe.
Cranky.
Like, yeah, she's just a cranky. Like,
yeah,
and
she's
and they have her
to go with Storm.
They have her like, tarted up. Like, yeah, it's good that she's gone with like Lance Storm, who's like the most, I guess, close to Right to Censor.
Yeah.
But like, she's still, even the way she looks, she just doesn't look like, you know, good.
Like, she,
and not,
I think
you know,
she,
like
I think
she's,
she looks
she's attractive,
good.
But
I think she does look good. Good body and all that. But like, it doesn't look
it's
right.
Not, it's not her style.
Yeah, it doesn't look right. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Like she looks like she's
it
wearing
doesn't look
too
like
revealing.
She would dress that way. Yeah.
Yeah. You
know? But this match, I don't know if I've got any notes about it other than about Molly or Ivory. So that, that'll tell you all you need to
sorry,
know.
Sorry, Andy. I don't know if you can hear that. Bloody fireworks going off here again. I don't know if that's happening down in Arklow.
No. Fireworks?
Apparently a big thing in Dublin these days is dog napping, and they people are setting off fireworks so that dogs will start barking and then they'll know which houses have dogs so they can target them.
Well,
honestly, this is the fucking thing.
Let me tell you something, Terry, to quell those fears. We had the crime prevention officer from On Garda Síochána in to do a presentation the other day, and he was saying that the dog napping thing, while it is up slightly, because it's so huge on social media, they're getting inundated with calls about like people worried that their dog's going to get napped or thinking that their dog has and then the dog comes back or whatever like that. So he was saying it's one of the sort of examples of how social media can make, you know, something into a big...
It doesn't explain why there's fireworks every night in August and September here. Like, you know, it is a thing, I think.
I'm sure it's a thing. I mean, I don't know.
That's
literally
that
all I know. Well, you don't have a dog, so you're fine.
No, I don't. But I have a baby, and if that baby fucking wakes up, I'm a dead man.
There's a festival in Arklow every like July, like the Seabreeze Festival, and all I was thinking about when we first moved down here is like, shut up. And Kerry's dad was saying, oh, it's great, they like march down the street and like there's fireworks. And I was like, no, that sounds awful. She'll never sleep. decent match anyway.
Yeah,
they're all good performers,
you know. I liked how Paul Heyman was referring to the Hurricane being from Kakalaki and how he kind of grew up with the Hardys. I thought that was a nice little touch there. And
did
he's been beating them up for 20 years.
Is that true?
Yeah, they all came up together. Like, he was a couple of years older, but that was
That's interesting.
yeah, I think, and I think as it goes on in the next year, when they all break off and do single stuff, the Hurricane and Matt Hardy have a feud, and it kind of revolves around that, their history
Oh, cool.
together. Yeah, I've always liked the Hurricane, even if he looks
He's kind of wearing on me a bit now, but
questionable.
I do have a note here. There was like a backstage segment with like William Regal and I can't remember who it was now, but I just wrote the note that I love how quickly Regal turns to being so believable as a heel.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
he was so believable as a face only like 2 weeks ago, and now he's the complete opposite, and I
He's
believe
just,
everything.
I was going to say, he's just doing the same thing,
Yeah.
just for the bad guys, though. Like, you know,
Pretty much,
yeah.
yeah. There was the next match was Test versus Kane.
Talk about a slobber knocker.
Oh boy.
I like this match, I have to say. You
Did
didn't
you?
like it?
Yeah, you're a Kane fan, aren't you?
I actually was very impressed with Test, I have to say, because I didn't like it. You know, every now and again, I just like two big boys beating the shit out of each other. You know, I
Yeah.
just watched the latest WWE pay-per-view, and they had Sheamus versus Big E, and it's two
Yeah.
big, thick boys,
Yeah.
hard hitting, a lot of skin on
Thuds.
skin smacking against each other,
Stripped
you
to the
know?
waist.
Yeah. So every now and again I can go for a bit of that. Like, and I've been impressed with Test in this. In I kind of forgotten about him as a real nothing, but they seem to be actually pushing him quite a bit at the moment.
Yeah, because he joined the Alliance, so that gave him something. Like, I just
And
find like he,
like he beat Kane here, you know.
yeah,
He's pretty fucking agile for a big guy. I
he
forgot how
is, yeah.
quick he is. Like,
And I do love that big boot that he gives.
absolutely. Yeah.
I
And then
found that
the
the
elbow
crowd,
drop was
oh yeah, that was
fucking
good off the
good
top
too. Like,
rope. The
yeah.
crowd didn't seem to be that into this one. I don't know if I just had the volume down low, but like it seemed like they
It's a kind
weren't
of,
as into this
it's
one.
weird. It kind of just seemed a bit, for me anyway, it seemed a bit thrown together because they were like, Test
It was
here
barely
with
a
the
feud.
Undertaker. And I know, yeah, like, it didn't seem like, it just seemed like, oh, Test beat up the Undertaker on Thursday, so now he's fighting Kane on
Yeah.
Sunday. You
It
know,
was like a
that.
house show match.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, like, if there's not a lot of heat coming into it, I can see why. Not a lot of story. And
Yeah, the fans didn't care, like.
it's weird that, like, the Hardys versus Lance Storm and Hurricane had more to a big. I think this is because the Hardys are kind of red hot at this point in their
Yeah.
career. Like, you know, they've so many fans, both male and female, whereas, you know, there's not. I don't
It's
think,
not the
like,
same pull for a Test or a
for a
Kane.
Kane, exactly. Like, you know,
Yeah.
and it's kind of. Now, it picked up by the end, but it was kind of slow, methodical for a large portion of it. Like, you know.
I was only listening to that JR podcast that you were recommending when they were
Grill and
reviewing,
JR.
yeah, when they were reviewing Milkomania, and I thought it was interesting what he was saying about, because like Test what killed himself when he was like 33.
I don't know. Did he kill himself?
I think he did. I think didn't we Google it on. Was it
No,
in the
that was
lab?
Canyon.
Oh,
I think Test
Test.
was like a heart thing, and like
Hang on.
he it was a
It was
drug
a drug
overdose is how
overdose.
Test died.
And
Yeah.
JR was saying, he's like, I saw
And
him a few years after he left, and Conrad's like, yeah. He's like,
yeah.
the lights were on, but nobody was home. It's like, it was a sad
Yeah.
thing. I was like,
I think
jeez.
he obviously had a lot of drug problems.
He said his own biggest like enemy was himself. That's what
Yeah.
JR said about Test.
Yeah. You can see that because he kind of has the look for WWE.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like I say, they got behind him once before and they kind of cooled him off, obviously for a
Yeah.
reason. And they seem to be trying to get behind him here again. And then he kind of just, like, over the next couple of years, I think he's like part of
Fizzled out a
the.
bit.
He's part of a group called the Un-Americans, which for me, two of the three people in it's like Lance Storm, Christian, and Test, who are all Canadian. They're all Canadians that like are like the part of the Un-Americans. But like, you're like, oh, okay, that's good talent there, but you know,
Yeah, but not much chemistry,
no.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I did think that the choke slams to Nick Patrick kind of saved it at the end. They were,
Send the crowd home happy right
yeah,
there. Like,
Kane lost, but Nick Patrick, who screwed him
oh
over.
yeah, because it was like, did he screw him over, or was it that, like,
He did something to warrant the choke slam. Test
whacked him with the bell at the start. That's what it was, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, it was some, but I think something happened at the end as well. I can't really remember.
Oh, yeah, and then he tried to use a chair, and Patrick took it
pulled
away.
Pulled it away,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so he gave him like, that big boot.
Yeah, beat him clean. And then
I was surprised to see that, to be honest.
Yeah, and then Kane chokeslammed Nick Patrick twice, and then gave him, what was it, like a power bomb. Yeah.
I think at this point they'd stopped doing tombstones.
Yes. They stopped any of those, square on the head.
Because the Undertaker's finisher is the last ride at this point.
Yeah.
And they were kind of trying to move away from it. But then when they brought it back, I think the only two that were allowed to do pile drivers were Kane and the Undertaker.
Doing tombstones.
Do the tombstone. Yeah.
The next match, Terry, was, I tell you,
I skipped it.
The lingerie match?
Yep.
You skipped it?
Yeah, I don't have time for that shit. Like,
it was 3 minutes long.
Well, I didn't know that, and I, whatever.
And it's a lingerie match, Terry.
Yeah, but come on, Andy, I'm 34,
it's just on, it's more effort to turn it off.
I have access to more on the palm of my hand than I fucking do on having, there's no point in me watching.
Look, I mean, yes, it was shite, but you skipped the whole match.
Queen Bono, Andy, who benefits? I don't benefit from it.
It's more effort to pick up the remote. Anything. Anyway, it was lasted 3 minutes long. I was actually surprised to see that it was an actual match. I thought it was one of those bikini contests or something like that. But it was just wrestling in lingerie. It was shy. I can't remember who won. It was just a nothing.
Tori performed a handspring elbow on Stacy to pin her for the victory.
All right. It was rubbish.
The fourth match.
The only thing I like better than a ladder match, Terry, is an Intercontinental Championship ladder match.
You're an old school fan. Did you like the Razor Shawn Michaels one?
Loved it. Loved it all.
Triple H, The Rock.
Yes, yes. I feel like Intercontinental titles and ladder matches go hand in hand almost.
100%.
Especially that white title. That's another.
Missed that one. Yeah. You never really see a world title in a ladder match. A ladder match. They don't. TLC match sometimes, but just a
straight up
world
ladder
title
match.
Ladder match. Yeah. It's a lost art. It really is.
Big pet peeve in this match that Christian, the champ, comes out first and then Edge comes out.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like that at all.
You want that pop though, huh? And it was weird. Last time around, Edge came out first and Christian came out second.
Really makes you think.
What do you think of Edge? I never meant to ask you this last time around. What do you think of Edge's Rob Zombie music?
I don't really like it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for when does he get that absolutely banging tune that he has
currently. That's when he becomes rated R superstar.
Absolute. I think team music is such a critical element in your whole characters, to give the fans that feeling when your music hits. It has to be something I like Edge. I don't particularly have any huge because I didn't really see him, but that music just makes me go yeah.
Take Stone Cold for example. Yeah. Right, the best fucking thing, the smash of the glass and then you're
it's all about that just the first few seconds has to be great and
like
then,
you said with Mick Foley at the start.
Yeah,
even Triple H as he went on even durn, time to play the game.
That's all great. I love Triple H's intro.
You're real. I forgot to talk about it. You're a real Triple H, Mark. You were all about Evolution as well.
I loved it. I loved
Evolution.
It.
Mr. A.
And H. Yeah. Triple H Space and H Mountain. Together. I absolutely loved that partnership. I can't remember what year it was. What was the year where there was Goldberg finally came into it?
And it was 2000. That was after WrestleMania 2002.
Right.
So Rock Hogan is WrestleMania 18.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think it's like the next month or so. Or maybe it's... No, it is 2002. No, it's 2003.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit
later. It's the month after WrestleMania 19.
Right.
Because Austin retires at WrestleMania 19, and then Rock's first feud is with Goldberg.
Yeah. There was something. There was a match, though, where Goldberg was like an Elimination Chamber match.
Remember this match. He killed everybody. Like
Goldberg kills everyone, and then Nate slides in the sledgehammer for Triple H. And Triple H just clocks him.
Like, this was away. Like
I remember losing my shit. I was so happy.
Really?
Yeah. And everyone hated Triple H at this point.
Because he was like, he was the boss's son-in-law. Yeah. And he's like, just flexing his, I don't lose to anybody. What are you talking about? How could anybody beat Triple H?
Everyone hated that fact that Triple H always won. Like, because he always ensured he did. But the fact that that was the way he did it, and then you have Nate like throwing his jacket off outside and just going crazy.
Watch the documentaries on the network? There's one. It's called The Ruthless Aggression.
No
documentaries, and they do one on Brock Lesnar. They do one on John Cena. They do one on Evolution.
All right.
And the one on Evolution, I was thinking about you because
he
talks about how like Ric Flair, Triple H talks about how Ric Flair was his favorite growing up. And how at that point in his career, he was like, he wasn't the same Ric Flair, you know, he was like, he was down and out. He's basically saying like, he had no confidence in himself. And he's like, I wanted him to be the Nature Boy again. I wanted to like pick him back up, give him confidence. And that's when they started building around this whole stable.
Also, Triple H was kind of instrumental in
his comeback. In getting him. He's like, he wanted to work with him and he wanted to kind of make him as confident again. And brilliant. Like, yeah, it's really interesting. Like now, it could just be Triple H being like, although he does seem now in his later years like a lot more humble, or like he's doing very good stuff, or he had been for a long time with NXT until Vince started being like, "Hey, what's this thing over here?
Yeah,
I want to get my fingers in it." Like, no, Vince, I made a perfectly good show for the Ruin over here. It's Raw. just keep ruining Raw. He's like, "No, I like That's this true. Black and gold thing. What's this one here?
What's
like,
this one, pal?
Yeah,
what's going on behind those curtains over there? Can I have a
shot of your toy?
It'd be funny if Vince just didn't know about NXT at all. What's going on behind that curtain over there? Nothing, Vince. Look, there's a topless broad over there.
Oh, what?
Oh, I'll say.
The dynamic jackhammer strikes again, eh, Your Honor?
Take your bra off and take it off now. Getting creep. Anyway,
Agent Christian had a Intercontinental title another match.
Yeah, what you think of it?
Yeah, it was good. Hard hitting.
You know what? I have, like, I had a note written down and then I deleted it because I ended up liking it. But I was like, I can't tell if this match is smooth or clunky at the start.
I think it was, you know what, it's a bit of both. Like, it's smooth in what they want to be doing with the execution of, like, you're like, oh, that's fucking tough luck. Like, as in, like, it's snug or it's hard hitting, you know what I mean? Like,
there was a splash that I think Edge or Christian did while the other one was lying on the ladder, and like it looked shite, you know what I mean? But I'd say that hurt more than any other move in the match. It was just it was just straight, like no movement at all, just
no give.
Yeah,
and, like, he did the diving spear, his TLC spot.
Yeah.
Didn't look as good.
Yeah,
because you didn't have Jeff Hardy hanging off the title, like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, it was a diving spear off the ladder, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, one of the ladders was in the corner or something, and he jumped on the other ladder. See, think about it, like Jeff Hardy makes them look so good. Like he just like falls like a rag doll,
twisted up like an accordion, falling up like an accordion. And then you had basically. It was a nice bit of, you know, callback to last month where he low-blowed Christian with the chair.
Yeah.
And then he hit him with a one-man concerto. And I did like how Christian just, like, went slumped limp off. And fell off.
When I seen that concerto at the top of the ladder, it's like, okay, so he's dead. Like,
but, like, he sold it like he was dead.
Yeah, so those concertos, like, when they're lying down, when the fact that they don't move before and they don't move after, it's like, he's dead.
Yeah, like, it looked like Edge was kicking a body off the dock into the water, like when Christian rolled off there.
And I love how Edge like hugs the title, like when he wins it, like he really wanted it. You know, I like all that.
It was a good match. I enjoyed it, I have to say.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It grew on me. I wasn't that into it at the start, and then by the end, I was like, all right.
Continuing our trend of random tag team title matches, we have the Dudley Boys versus the Big Show and Tajiri. Because, and I will say about this match, Big Show looked fucking good.
He looks good.
He was speeding around the place.
He was.
He's obviously, they've obviously sent him back down or to lose some weight or something like that, like to get him. I know they've had to do it a few times with him.
I was thinking, don't they always do that? Like, that's just what they.
Yeah, but like in this, and like obviously that he's doing tag matches at the moment.
Yeah.
Keeping him fresh. I don't know why they couldn't have just had Spike Dudley in the match, to be honest.
Yeah, why wasn't Spike in it?
Spike was at WWF New York for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
I did like how Paul Heyman was asking him a question, and he just was, he's like, Spike? And he's like, I was asking him a question, JR.
Spike's too busy looking at the woman. Like,
yeah, he's like, good. And you got actually, with speaking of Heyman and JR, he's like, New York, my home away from home. And he's like, Scarsdale.
I love that shtick to you. Yeah, what are you talking about? You're from Scarsdale.
This one is just the one word, like, Scarsdale.
I love when those two go at it with each other. Great. Like, it's so good. They needed them back down, and they're right in each other's face. Kiss my ass.
It's not even close that like JR is the best that there ever has been.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you know, like he just brings that oomph to it. Every, like, and even now, like I was watching the AEW thing, and like Cody Rhodes is the big guy in AEW. Like, well, and Dean Ambrose is their champion, but Cody Rhodes is their executive vice president.
Right.
And he won, they did like their, you know, they have an intercontinental title here. Their secondary title is the TNT Championship, because they're on TNT, their network. And they did a thing where he was doing an open challenge every week for like 10 weeks or something. He was fighting like all these independent wrestlers or anybody on the roster.
Yeah.
And they were saying, they did a great story that he was like kind of losing focus, or like he was thinking, oh, I'm going to get past this guy easy. And throughout the match, he would like get frustrated. And in the last few weeks, it was like he was getting a load of injuries to his ribs. And then he lost the match with, you know, remember Luke Harper?
Oh, yeah.
From the he's in AEW now. He is Mr. Brody Lee, but he's like, he's like the leader of this cult. But he's also kind of Vince McMahon as well, is his character. Deadly. Which is, he's fucking deadly. But they did a match, and it was literally just, your man beat the shit out of Cody, hit his move, and then it was like 1, 2, 3, and Jerry was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And I was like, like, he still has it when he, you know,
when he turns,
when it, like a lot of it is,
I'd say nowadays it's him turning it on, like,
and it's most of the time he's in third gear, you know, for a lot of it, like, or like he floating, and he's having a good time, and he's, you know, he's cracking jokes with, like, sometimes Jericho's on commentary, sometimes it's him and Shivani.
He seems like he really does enjoy commentating. Even and I was reading I was listening to his audiobook and listening to his podcast, and all, like, he just loves it. He loves being out there calling matches, and like it just I think he was one of the most critical sort of aspects, almost of like the Attitude Era, because it's like
100%
all these moments, these Austin Vince moments and Triple H and Rock and like everybody, like you're just hearing JR's voice, like the Hell in a Cell, the, you know, every,
my God, that killed him.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's become a thing now. By God. He's it's so enjoyable.
Oh my God! What the hell did he mean by that? It was Triple H!
And Austin, it's Stone Cold's home state of Texas, and the home of WrestleMania. All of Stone Cold has been destroyed, have been left battered and bloody and hammered at the hands of the Game and the Sledgehammer. Triple H, the accomplice! Why, Triple H, you son of a bitch? Why?
Tell me why.
And when I'm watching it back and forth now, because I'm watching the Raw and SmackDowns and all, like, I still enjoy SmackDown. It's like Heyman and Cole at the moment on SmackDown. But I love when it goes back to Raw. It's like, hello again, everybody, and welcome to... You know, I'm like, oh, yes, it's Raw. It's JR. Yeah.
It's mad how, like, that now, when it's like, Raw is, like, at the moment in 2020, is like, hello, everybody, it's Todd Phillips.
Yeah, it's so quiet.
Yeah, like, ugh.
Todd Phillips. No. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm Michael Cole's clone. They scraped me off the sole of his foot.
I've nothing to say about this match other than the Dudleys hit the patented 3D.
Jerry look pretty good in this as well? I gotta say,
Jerry's
like,
just always. I forgot how good he was.
I loved the gore by Rhino to the Big Show, because it looked believable in that, like, Big Show just like tumbled out of the ring.
Yeah, although I thought that the Big Show, because the match went on for a bit after that, I thought the Big Show was down for too long. Because he got gored about, like,
it's the gore, man,
about like 3.5 minutes ago, though, like,
it wasn't.
And then
it wasn't.
Well, it seemed like an age. I was like, the Big Show in reality, if that was in the middle of the ring, he'd be up.
But I you know, I like, we talked about it last time around, where it was like, I was like, oh, they're gonna go for a 3D now, but it was like, no, not this time, because Tajiri reversed something, and then it just got a slight reversal again.
Oh,
yeah. It's like, oh, here we go, like, you know.
They keep finding new and inventive ways of hitting this amazing finisher.
Absolutely, I love it. Everybody knows once they see
Book or
just once Bubba. Once they see Bubba kind of make that move, you're like, oh, they're calling for it. 3D. They know, like, yeah.
The match was fine. It was a bit filler,
but it was better than the Hardys tag match, I thought, to be honest. Like,
yeah, I'm kind of,
if only just for they were responding more to the Big Show flight, like, and even him doing his gyration in the corner got a big pop.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And the choke slam he hit on Bubba, by the way, was
with authority.
Absolutely, because Bubba's a big boy. Like,
he is. Like, it was nothing. Next, we have, if I may, Terry, The Undertaker versus The Booker Man, Booker T.
Yeah.
And Booker T was in a segment before this, and I just have a note of the size of his arms. Booker T is a specimen, but compared to The Undertaker, like, he looks, we're only talking about
tiny.
Him, watching, he looks so tiny, and The Undertaker doesn't look particularly muscular, like, but, like, when you see him next to Booker T, he looks obviously huge, and he is huge.
He's
Booker
tall.
T just, he's like 6'10", 11 or something.
Well, they always just say, like, 7 feet tall or whatever, like, I think he's about, like, 6'9".
Right.
But, like, because apparently he was, like, a basketball player, like, like Nash was a basketball player as well, like, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, Booker T, for his frame, is absolutely jacked.
Yeah.
Whereas The Undertaker is, he's playing the biker guy now, and he's the kind of guy you would say,
he's got the body of a biker guy.
He's a tough guy. Tough customer sitting at the bar there drinking his whiskey and beer. Like, you know, he's not, like, particularly athletic looking, like, you know, like, whereas Booker T is, like, Booker T looks like he's a footballer, an American footballer.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
He looks like he could be in Any Given Sunday.
It was like an American footballer versus a basketball player, essentially. What did you think
Booger
of
Booger Red.
What did you think of it?
I said Booger Red.
Booger Red?
Yeah, that's what he calls, JR calls The Undertaker.
Booger Red?
Yeah.
Like, his hair is Booger Red?
It's because he has red hair, and I think a booger is like a mean guy that used to roll around the towns and beat people up. But that's, if you're listening,
never heard that.
Listening for JR calling him Booger Red. I liked how Booker jumped him as Undertaker was getting off the bike.
Yeah.
It was a good match. I really actually quite enjoyed this one.
I didn't care for this one too much, because again, there was nothing really, like, Undertaker was against Booker T and Kane was against Test, because Booker T and Test are the WWF tag champs.
No,
I think.
They're not tag champs at all.
Well, they were, weren't they?
Booker T? No, well, not yeah. They could have. They could have won them and lost them in the space. Hardy's a WCW tag champs, and
oh, they must have lost them. Oh, okay, they lost them then. But the feud had carried on. It's some sort of tag team related. They'd obviously
yeah, because last month it was the Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah.
Had both titles, and then they lost one to the Dudleys thanks to Chronic.
And they're gone, and they, by the way, already.
Chronic.
Already yeah, nowhere to be seen. Like, absolutely awful.
They got him a payday. He got his buddy a payday.
Yeah, he helped him. He helped
BSK.
The Undertaker, you know, if I may say, the only note I have about this match is, and you're going to say this is me again, The Undertaker's pins are too sexual for me.
What do you mean? I didn't know.
He had, like, it was full, like, he had the leg up over his shoulder, like, missionary position, like, right on top of him.
You're a creep. I'm not the creep.
Nobody else is talking about it. I'm calling out the creeps. Exactly. No one is talking about it there. And somebody needs to make a stand.
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying no to sexual pinning in a wrestling sense. And in a sexual sense. Anyway, what else have we got?
Next matchup is The Rock defending his WCW title against Chris Jericho.
So the backstory
could never win the big one.
Yeah, that was it. It was Jericho and Rock started a feud almost accidentally. That Jericho hit The Rock with a chair, and
they actually did a good job of recapping this one because I knew what was going on.
He hit him by mistake, but then The Rock was like, "What was that about?" And he was like, "Hey, I not like I meant to do it." And then they had a scuffle, and then
a bit of a kerfuffle,
and yeah. So then it was emerged that, you know, or The Rock or someone said that Jericho can't win the big one.
I think The Rock was saying that. Yeah, that's your problem.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a good sort of segment on, I think it was Raw, where like they're talking, The Rock is saying something, and Jericho just sticks his hand right in The Rock's face, like touching.
That was great. Touching like, just his bring nose. It, like,
yeah, and The Rock's like, "What?" And then The Rock moves to the side of the hand, and Jericho like moves the hand back in front of his face, and then flips it and does the "just bring it." I thought that was really good. I have first note I have on this is the rock bottom on the table. And JR summed it up again. He was like, the pause, he was like, "Good God almighty, what impact."
Like, it looked really sore.
It
like,
did. It looked like he just went not only through the table, just through the floor as well.
Like, did it go through the table? Yeah.
Yeah. There was one in the next match that didn't break the table.
Oh yeah.
In this one, yeah, he rock bottomed his ass right through the table.
The rock bottom on the table is such a like precarious one because you're both standing on the table, like, and you're both like, whereas if you're going a powerbomb from one table through another one or something like that, you know, at least you're not going through the table as well.
You definitely have to stand at the very edge of the table to do it. You can't be like in the middle of, you know, doing it like that.
I liked what they were doing with Jericho here, in that like they never. First of all, actually, I meant to say this in the last few. The Rock doing the sharpshooter is the biggest piece of fucking shit. Oh my God. It's the worst. It fucking looks like something I do in the toilet at 9:30 in the morning. Like,
after a Coke Zero.
Absolutely. Like, fucking terrible.
You know, Kerry was only saying this to me as well. That like, she's like, "I hate when The Rock does this
The
move.
Shit shooter.
Because The Rock is just has he's got such a big mouth, and The Rock's just always like, ah!
But like, it's just, it's like,
he never gets a tap.
It's not cinched in properly. It looks awful.
And he's like, I don't recall him ever getting a tap from that sharpshooter.
If you look at how Bret Hart used to do a sharpshooter and Owen Hart, they had a perfection and they sat
deep,
back.
A deep one.
Oh, unbelievable. But the legs are cinched in. It looked really painful. This just looks like you're lying on your tummy and he has your legs a little bit twisted. And like, that's
and
it.
And then he flips you over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, like, whereas when they were doing Jericho countering the people's elbow into the walls of Jericho.
Yeah, that was good.
I was like, fucking hell. Like,
that was very good. Now, was there a botch at the end of this where Stephanie came in and she came up to the apron? She doesn't really like Jericho or The Rock. They had sort of even pallied around in the build up to this of slagging off Stephanie. The Rock was like, hello Stephanie, you're certainly looking gigantic, you know, like that sort of thing.
So why would you say that was a botch though?
Because Stephanie came up to the apron.
I think she was trying to cost Jericho the title.
Yeah, that's it looked like something happened because Jericho sort of went to grab her and Stephanie kind of fell a bit off the apron. It didn't look like that's what was meant to happen. And then there was a bit of kerfuffle for about 20 seconds and then Stephanie got back up on the apron again and then The Rock threw her in over the top. And I wonder if that's what Jericho was supposed to do.
I tell you what, when he threw her in over the top, fair play to her. Jesus, she fucking...
Yeah.
She got over it, didn't she? Like, yeah.
Got some elevation.
Fucking right, like... and then he hit his new finisher, apparently, the breakdown.
I don't even remember this. What was the finisher?
It was like a front Russian leg sweep.
Huh.
It's like, you know, like Russian leg sweep, you go backwards.
Yeah.
You kind of did it forward onto the chair.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then, so that's how we got the win. Jericho wins. Yeah. Genuine shock that Jericho actually won this.
I couldn't remember if he'd won it or not. Like, so it was good.
I was delighted that he did because the WCW titles will do more for Jericho than it'll do. Like, The Rock doesn't need it.
Makes more sense because he was WCW guy as well. Like, yeah. It doesn't really make sense, The Rock
being kind of
WCW
belittles channel. The Rock a little bit, whereas it elevates
Jericho.
It's just
not a fit, like... Yeah, it's not a fit. Rock being WCW champion. Like.
It just doesn't sound right.
Rock should be wanting the WWF title, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Was he wasting his time?
So then the main event is a triple threat match.
Austin, RVD, Angle. Deadly game. I love the fact that when Austin came out that he's just coming out, he's starting on the cameraman, he's starting on the fans, like he's getting all in the cameraman's face.
I love his vest. Now that he's a bad guy, it's either red or it's gold. Yeah. It's not the silver anymore. And the bionic redneck, like I love that moniker. Like
the bionic redneck. His t-shirts that he's been wearing, it's just been saying Raging Redneck.
Yeah.
You know, that old fashioned saying that Stone Cold says all the time. Here's that Raging Redneck, JR.
So this one kind of was a good triple threat match, I have to say, but I wasn't feeling the passion or anything.
I wasn't that into this one now, to be honest.
No, I was just like, okay, keep RVD out of it. Give me Kurt Angle and Austin again, to be honest.
Angle
give
hit
Kurt
that
Angle
moonsault
and
again.
Austin in a no holds barred match.
Yeah.
You know? Like
street fight.
Yeah, 100%, because we kind of had that in the last one, but let them go again. Further, yeah. You know, in
part two,
in like this would have been the third one,
if you count.
Am I crazy? Would it not made more sense to just keep the title off Austin until this pay per view, have him win it back in a street fight or something?
Like, oh, yeah, like in this
instead of winning it back with Regal, I don't know,
like on Raw. I guess they want to make it seem like, well, I better tune in to Raw.
Yeah, I know. They're that's the thing. Anything can happen on Raw.
Yeah. But Angle hits that moonsault again anyway.
Ooh, the elevation.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Second time. Only the second time I've seen him hit it now.
I tell you, RVD is snug as fuck here. His kicks.
Yeah.
He does not pull them at all. Like,
no. They're going
a couple
straight.
Of times where I'm like, Jesus, like, yeah. Like, you caught Kurt Angle with one of those spinning leg kicks, and you're like, ah, like.
Did anyone have any issue with that? Like, wrestlers
some people,
who fight like
some
that?
People, some wrestlers had, and some people liked it. Like, Jericho liked it because he was like, yeah, okay, I'll go out and be snug back to him, like, you know? Some people didn't mind it. Some people kind of think it's a bit unsafe, but.
Yeah.
You know.
But it makes it look good.
Somebody like Bradshaw, say, is like, you want to get snug? Let's get snug.
Yeah. Soaping the ass of the other wrestlers in the shower. That's all I think of when I think of Bradshaw now.
Okay. Yeah.
Fucking creep.
Good for you.
I just can't get past him. I can't get, I don't know. What skeletons are in that man's closet?
Yeah. Well, he's a bully. He's a weirdo.
Yeah. Vince with the chair shot. Vince comes down halfway through he'd been talking to RVD in the week previous. But the chair shot that he delivers, I was a big fan of.
Well,
I wasn't expecting it.
Before he got to that, was RVD and Angle did him with the top rope belly to belly suplex.
Oh yeah, brilliant!
Fucking brilliant! Like
yeah.
But then McMahon. I love how Kurt does it. It's like a squirrel climbing a tree or something. How he just
he runs up the ropes
and he's on the top rope before you know it, and then he has you hooked and you're across the ring.
Yeah,
in the matter of 4 seconds. Like
yeah, he's amazing.
And then, yeah, McMahon got in, fucking clocked Austin with the chair.
And then Shane comes down. He's trying to help Austin.
He breaks up the pin.
And then Vince attacking Shane.
Vince running at Shane. I was like,
the look of
hell.
Pure hatred in Vince's eyes. I was like, get the fuck out of the way.
Enjoy this.
Get out of his way.
And even JR was like, oh, God. Like,
he just jumped at him. Like,
Yeah, but
and then you have
Austin hits the stunner on RVD, and that's pretty much it. Like,
yeah, and I did like the stunner because RVD sort of went limp. He didn't go down on his knees. It was almost like a sitting RKO or something like that. But it was a decent match. Austin retains the title. I do agree that they should have just had a title change hands at this one or something like that. But however. What did you think of it overall?
So what have we done? We've done Invasion, we've done SummerSlam, we've done
Unforgiven
and No Mercy. I would say out of the four of them, I probably rank this third.
What would you rank fourth?
Invasion.
Okay. Yeah, just because that 10-man
like,
tag
it was just
or
a
whatever.
Fucking, it was a messy. Yeah, it was. Like, you know, whereas the matches in this have been a lot better because they have had less matches.
Yeah,
like I think they had like 11 matches or something in that Invasion one, where it's like it's 5-5, the inaugural brawl is the, you know, blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I like the story of Stone Cold leading into the Invasion. That's the best thing about it. But there's a lot of filler, a lot of crap on the Invasion card.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes. In that whole angle, to be honest, as is widely acknowledged, I wasn't mad on this one, to be honest, and I was kind of, if it wasn't for the fact that I know Triple H is coming back in a few weeks, I was only saying to Kerry today, I was like, should we go to a different era? Do you think now after this? I was like, actually, we should probably just see out the year.
Survivor Series is good,
right? Okay, good.
You know, Survivor Series is the end of it, and then when. The aftermath is pretty interesting.
Right, okay.
Of what happens after Survivor Series.
Well, we'll keep going with it.
Yeah, I would.
Should we get our plugs in, Terry? It's getting rather late, as all of our yawning would suggest to the listener.
Yeah, we're over an hour here. Fucking hell.
Jesus, like, we can sure talk some shite about wrestling.
Absolutely. Where can people find us online, Andy?
The internet. Twitter, Instagram, Put It In H Podcast.
On the line.
On the World Wide Web. You can find our on the Instagram app. If you check out our bio, you'll find a link to all of our stuff. Thanks for the people who bought t-shirts this week. And you can get our merch there. You can get our Patreon. You can get our other podcasts, What's So Great About. You can get our latest episodes. Everything basically is there. You can email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com if you should be that way inclined. Terry, where else can they find us?
You mentioned it there earlier on, our Patreon. Ramble on over there. Get in behind the wall. If you slap down 5 measly dollar dues a month, get 2 episodes of our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we're doing, basically we take a topic and I try to convince Andy what's so great about. At the moment, we're doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Some hits, some misses.
Definitely.
I would say, look, we're batting a decent ratio at the moment.
I'm further along than I thought I was going to be. Yeah. I've already watched Doctor Strange. And I'm absolutely chomping at the bit to talk about it.
Is it chomping or champing?
Yeah, I just said it quick, to be honest.
Yeah. But we're in phase 3, as Andy said. Mm-hmm. Doctor Strange is the next one down the pike. Also on.
Is it pike or pipe?
I think we've had this before. Turnpike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we also get like, we do two other bonus episodes per month. We've just recorded one on the Broadway smash hit Hamilton.
Yeah.
We've also done an episode on drugs. We've done an episode on The Last Dance. We did an episode on the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
You know, a bunch of good ones. We've done a bunch of music episodes where we've kind of picked mini playlists for one another to dig into.
I very much like your idea of our top five Beatles songs for the next Patreon.
Who will have a better Beatles mini playlist?
Let me tell you this, though.
Don't you point that finger at me.
I'm pointing it there. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to pick five, but I'll, you know.
You've already been noodling around.
We also have, I don't know if in 2 weeks are we doing our dream cast?
I think we are going to do that, aren't we? Get that one.
So it was put to us by a loyal patron that if we could have a dream cast in a movie, it could either be an original movie or a sequel or something like that. Who would we have and what we have? I've already got my idea and my cast.
Wow, look at you.
I know. I've only wished this movie could get made.
Who knows? Some exec could be listening behind the paywall.
Let me give you three guesses as to three characters that I've picked in it.
Three
actors, I mean.
De Niro.
Check.
Are they all male?
Of course. No, I have a woman in there.
Okay. Let me ask. I don't know.
You know.
Do I? Pacino?
Pacino. You're the Pacino guy.
Yeah, I mean, look. You like the Irishman, man.
Yeah, I do.
Give me a hint for the other two.
I love them.
Oh, great.
I talk about them both all the time.
Are they funny?
Yeah, you know it, but one of them is. Anyway, I'm not going to give it away. Robert De Niro is one of them, anyway.
Andy Richter?
Okay. So there's that coming up, and next week we are back on with Put It In H with which episode, Terry?
Home Sweet Home Diddly Diddly Dum Diddly.
Yes, what he said. If you can't join our Patreon, you can
tell you what you can do. You can do me a favor. You can do me a personal favor.
Okay.
Give me 5 fucking stars. 5-star review. Please.
Give him 5 stars.
I need it.
He needs these
stars. I'm hungry.
I'm hungry
for stars.
He's got a family.
I'm like Mario. I need to collect these stars.
Nice.
Okay?
Nice.
I'm speaking your language. I know you, the people out there listening to this podcast, know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about when I say Mario. I'm not talking about the guy who lives down the road. All right? I'm talking about Mario of the brothers, Mario, who needs the 5 stars. I need those 5 stars. Don't give
me. He needs the 5 stars. Can't you hear him?
What's wrong with you? I'm losing my mind here. Give me a 5-star rating. Give me a review.
Folks, I've never seen him like this.
It really helps grow the podcast. This quarantine. Are we still in quarantine?
I don't know. Yeah. Talk of another lockdown.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway.
Fingers crossed. Oh, I'm salivating at the thought of another lockdown.
Anyway, a rating review, 5 stars, all that good stuff really helps grow the podcast.
Yeah.
We need it. We're hungry for it.
We're hungry.
Like those hippos.
Yes. What he said. Anyway, it's very late and I can't think of anything else to say. So
that ought to do it.
just wanna hit it. The shit can and we did it. Just because they don't get it, but I'll stay fitted. New era committed. Now this red cap gets a rap from these critics. But do we always gotta cry?
Always gotta cry.
Do we always gotta we live always inside a live inside a lie? Life's just a blast, just a moving really, really fast. Better stay on top of life, I'll kick you in the ass. Follow me into a solo. Remember that, kid? So what you wanna do? And where you gonna run when you're staring down the cable of a mic pointed at your grill like a gun? Lil Biscuit is rocking the set. It's like Russian roulette when you're placing your bet. So don't be upset when you're broke and you're done. Cause I'ma be the one till I jet.
I'ma be the one till I jet.
I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. Now I know why you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately.
Everything happens for a reason.
I don't even know what I should say. Cause I'm an idiot, a loser. Microphone up.